Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very bread of life and the love from the hand and the heart of the Father. Our text is the familiar language of the Holy Gospel from the sixth chapter of Matthew. Hear again, please, first these verses from the Revised Standard Version that are in the text from verse 32. The Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. And then some verses that immediately precede our text today that catch the theme of this whole chapter, that is really the nature of the problem it's dealing with. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? That's our text. In Jesus, our Savior and our brother in the faith and in the flesh, my Christian friends. This is one of those Sundays that I wish we had Bibles in the pew that I could have you pick up and open up, because this experience of Matthew chapter 6 is remarkable. To encounter an entire text together all of a sudden opens up new vistas, because sometimes we hear snippets of the Bible and we don't get it in the whole context, and it becomes this kind of little thing. And it's a much broader thing in the whole history of who our God is and what he's doing for us in and through Christ. If the truth were to be known, wish I had the occasion this morning that you and I could just share in a few hymns and a word of confession and the Lord's Supper, and I could spend the whole hour opening this thing up to you, because this is big language. This is the key of the faith in our everyday experience. Matthew chapter 6, and this language right here, is the center of what you and I call the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Matthew chapter 5 opens up with a reality of what is the kingdom, the whole language of the Beatitudes, that does not have to do with how you ought to live your life. First, the Beatitudes are first and foremost the job description of Jesus. And because Jesus was those things, therefore you have the kingdom. Because you have Christ and Christ has you, therefore all of the kingdom is wrapped around you. It is not a matter of somehow trying to find it by being good and devout and pious and all those things, worthy though they are. That comes as a result of what the Beatitudes say and who did them. Then later in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, because you are in relationship with God, here's how you treat people. And he reviews the commandments and makes them extremely intense. When he gets to Matthew chapter 7, the way Matthew's gathered this together, then it's God and our practices of every day and our focus on the announcement of the kingdom. But here in Matthew chapter 6, because you are related to God through Christ, how ought we to live our lives in terms of our piety? What piety is religious practice, our everyday awareness. And there are three very specific Jewish things that Jesus challenges us on as well, even though you and I are not Jewish, because they go not merely to the practice, but to the core of the matter. And that's why I chose those two verses as the key to Matthew 6. That sort of statement about if your eye is sound, your whole body is full of light. What does this mean, that you should just not look at nasty pictures? I don't think so. The question that Jesus is raising all the way through Matthew chapter 6 is, what are you focused on? Are you focused on yourself? Or are you focused on your Father? Because He is your Father in light of all that I have done and am. He has asserted that and claimed it. In point of fact, Matthew chapter 6 has 34 verses. And in those 34 verses, 12 times, Jesus makes reference to your Father. That's an assertion. That's an affirmation. It's a promise. It's a claim. He is your Father, even as He is the Father of the Lord Jesus. And He fills you with promises and promises to take care of you. Then we get down to the end of the chapter, the language of our text. And Jesus discusses this matter of anxiety. That's why I referred to it with that tone of voice when I read the gospel lesson today. Because in those few verses, that word comes out 6 times. And it's the only place it is in the whole Sermon on the Mount. In the original, what that word anxiety is, loosely translated, here's it's carrying the sense that anxiety is the experience we have when we're only aware of what's around us and inside me. Merimnao. That's the Greek. And the word we've got in English, anxiety, well, that's a disorder. But in point of fact, it's an everyday human experience, too. Some of you grew up speaking, remembering, learning German. It comes from the German word, Angst. Anxiety means both anger and fear and anger. Because that's what you and I experience, sometimes in little ways, sometimes in huge ways. Because our attention is drawn only to ourself and we merimnao, we're only aware of what's inside us. And all of a sudden, our whole experience of life grows dark. You've encountered anxiety yourself when stuff goes wrong. Or when your world threatens you and it's not going the way you feel or thought or hoped or believed it ought to. And it presses in on you. And it's all going to pieces. And it turns you to look only at yourself. And then comes this announcement, if your eye is sound, the whole body will be full of light. The reality of our everyday experience has this way of turning us in and then raising the question, how am I going to solve this? And then comes the question of the world, how are you going to solve this? And then comes the question of the politician, I will solve it for you. Or of the scientist who said, it's all mechanical anyway. And in all of that, where is the promise that the Savior asserts for us 12 times in 34 verses? Don't be anxious. Your Father knows that you need these things. If He takes care of the bird brain stuff out there that flies around and just dumps on our cars and our sidewalks and eats our grain, don't you think He's going to take care of you? If He's been taking care of the flowers through the drought and the flood, and there they are in all their majesty this fall, the mums opening up and all the other things and the bursting of color in the trees and all that we delight in. Don't you think He's going to take care of you? Aren't you more important than a bird? You think He wants you running around naked? But in the middle of our anxieties, when we get pushed in on ourselves, all we can see is me. It's like what one young person said to me in the course of recent days, when everything was pushing in on them and they couldn't see beyond, "All I want is my face back." So how are you going to create that? By your own piety? By your own effort? By your own insistence that you think the right way, or that you're going to behave the right way to prove to God that you've got it together and that you know how you ought to be? That's exactly what Jesus challenges all the way through Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them. Let me prove to you, God and one another, how I have it all understood. And Jesus challenges that in terms of the gifts we give. First, in Matthew chapter 6, our alms, our gifts of charity, whether it's gifts in church or whether it's gifts to disaster relief or our care for our family or anything else. We're so conscious of self that we even go through all kinds of exercises to prove we're not drawing attention to ourselves, when Jesus says your Father sees this stuff in secret. And it doesn't mean that somehow you hide it from people. The issue is the Lord sees your heart and mine. And he knows sometimes our eye is not sound because we're looking at ourselves instead of him. Because he and he alone is the light of the world. He and he alone is the one who says, "I am your Father." That's the light that shines in our hearts, that all of a sudden dispels the darkness and opens us up to gifting to other people. How are you going to get to the point that you're past anxiety? You're going to pray harder? Jesus challenges that in Matthew chapter 6, and he says, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by men." It's all about them. That's what the phrase means. It's all about me. When you pray, go and your heart and God's heart pray like this: "Our Father." Don't forget who's praying that with you. The Son of God. He's the one who said the words. He's joining you under the burden of what it means to be a person. And he gets it when we realize we're only this little person and the sea is so big and our boat is so little. He gets it. But he's also the light that comes into this world and says, "This is not about you. This is my Father's world, and he's your Father too." It is potent and powerful that 12 times Jesus said, "He is your Father." He does not say he is El Shaddai, Lord of hosts and majesty, God Almighty, architect of the universe, or if you will, the great and terrible Oz. This is your Father, who knows you better than you know yourself, and who loves you. He shaped you. He knew before you were even conceived that there would be a you. And he has sustained you a day at a time. The doctors only help with that. Your nutrition only helps with that. Your investment counselor only helps with that. You don't make it happen. It's the Lord. And he loves you because he's your Father. It is when you and I hear that, that when all the other stuff that besets us surrounds us and would push in on us and pull us in, "How am I going to get out of this?" That's none of your business. This is not an invitation to be frivolous. Oh, it'll all be taken care of, and I don't have to do anything. Then we ought to recall the story of the ant and the grasshopper, I think. That's not the point. The point is, this is your Father. In whatever circumstances you find yourself in, and it's only when that happens, when that light tries to find its way into the darkness of our short-sightedness and our fear and our short thinking, that all of a sudden the darkness of anxiety is dissipated and we're drawn to focus again. You said you're my Father. The Lord says, that's right. How am I going to get through this? You just worry about today. If you knew about the future, it would scare the socks off you. Let me take care of that. You just be and do today as I need you to be, because I have not abandoned you. I have not forsaken you. When did I ever do that? Have I brought you this far to drop you on your head? Even if I determine in my days and times and my reasons to take your life itself, it belonged to me to begin with. And don't you think I can raise you from the dead, even as I did my own son? But that's next Sunday's sermon. I'm your Father. I'll take care of it. Anxiety doesn't disappear because you and I grow anxious about being anxious and try somehow to dispel it ourselves or guarantee that our world is going to be in such a way that we don't need to feel anxious. Of course we're afraid. We're just people. Of course we get angry. We're just people. Of course we're aware only of self. We're just people in one body. It happens only as the light of this affirmation comes to us, and as we, a day at a time, start crying out, our Father who art in heaven, give us today the bread we need for today. When we know the Lord loves us and trust it, it doesn't happen because we have accomplished it in some way in our great thinking or determination of will. It happens because the light and the power of the gospel blinds us to our short-sightedness and causes us to see the tender care and love of God. If there was a hymn I would have us sing today, it's an old gospel hymn. Didn't get into the hymnal. I don't know if it's ever been in a Lutheran hymnal. That's a shame. Maybe some of you remember it. Be not dismayed. Whate'er betide, God will take care of you. That's the promise. He'll take care of you. You don't need to be anxious. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and your minds and your lives free from the fear and anger of anxiety. In Christ, amen.